everybody. This is Dave Custy, and welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. My guest today is Kenny Albert, broadcaster for Fox Sports and the voice of the New York Rangers. He is one of the few announcers who does play-by-play for all four major leagues. That's the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL. Welcome, Kenny.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem at all.
We're going to talk about Kenny's first big sportscasting job as the announcer for the Baltimore Skipjacks in 1990 for two seasons. But first, Kenny, give us a little mini bio.
Well, Dave, you're right. That was my first full-time position, and hard to believe it was over two decades ago now, but 2 years that I wouldn't trade in for anything. My years with the Skipjacks, working as the radio broadcaster and also handling a lot of other duties around the office, public relations and marketing and sales. It was just a tremendous experience. But to go back a little further, I had the opportunity during the two prior years to do some fill-in work with the New York Islanders. I hosted some pre- and post-game shows for them and also did play-by-play on about five or six games over those two seasons. And it was actually one of those tapes from an Islander game that helped land me the job in Baltimore. And I was hired in June of 1990 and, like you said, spent the 2 years with the Skipjacks, went on to Washington where I did the games on Home Team Sports, the Capitals games, for three seasons, actually, with Craig Lachlan, and have been up in New York with the Rangers ever since, and also starting year 20 of the NFL on Fox, and just finished up another Major League Baseball on Fox season, but, you know, I guess you could say it all started in Baltimore during that 90-91 season with the Skipjacks.
Well, let's talk about that. When you first heard that you got the job with the Skipjacks, what was that like?
Oh, I could not have been more excited. I had been out of college for a month, 22 years old, and my dream was to do play-by-play on the radio for a hockey team, you know, somewhere in North America, and sent out a lot of tapes, and like I said, was able to use the Islander tape, you know, contacted many different minor league teams, and I had heard about the opening with the Skipjacks. Mike Haynes had been the radio broadcaster the previous couple of seasons, and he moved on and does a great job as TV voice now of the Colorado Avalanche, so he was with the Skipjacks during the 89-90 season, and I heard there was an opening, sent the tape down, went to interview with Tom Ebright, who owned the team along with his family, and Alan Rackman, who was the director of marketing at the time, and wound up, I was actually in Vancouver at the NHL draft doing a radio show in June of 90 when, you know, this was before cell phones, so I called into my answering machine back home in New York about 10 times a day to see if the Skipjacks called. I had the interview the week prior, and sure enough, about 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, I got the message that the job was mine. And you know, like I said, could not have been more excited. Flew home and packed up the car a couple of weeks later, and headed down to Baltimore. And I remember the initial press conference when the Skipjacks announced the hiring of Rob Laird as head coach, and they introduced, you know, myself as well, and moved down to Baltimore, got an apartment at Owings Mills and in the Fikesville area, and started in the office that summer in late June of 90. And, you know, sales wasn't necessarily my forte. You know, it was a big part of the job, you know, especially working for a minor
league team. Oh, you had to be a salesman, too.
Yeah, I think I made three sales over the course of the entire summer.
A lot of cold calling and all?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was just counting the hours and the days until the games would start in early October. But my three clients that I sold packages to were a little restaurant in Fells Point, a mini golf, you know, batting cage, place up in Cockeysville, called Sports. Not sure if it's still there or not. And also the gym at the Hyatt Inner Harbor Hotel, bought a package, and we threw in everything. I mean, they probably paid $500 each, for the package. And, you know, we gave them tickets and ads on the boards and radio spots, you know, pretty much whatever they wanted. It was a great deal for them. So, you know, I was certainly excited when the summer came to an end that I didn't have to go out on as many of those sales calls and got to do the games on the radio.
But you also had some really great guys on the team. You know, you had Olaf Kolzik and Don Beaupre. What was it like when you first met with them?
Oh, it was, you know, a number of those players went on to have terrific NHL careers. And, you know, the team didn't do very well my first season. They made the playoffs my first year. Didn't do too well the second season and wound up making a coaching change. But Ole Kolzig and Byron Defoe were the goaltenders, and both went on to have terrific careers in the NHL. Kolzig with the Capitals and Defoe with first Washington, and then went on to play with the Boston Bruins and the LA Kings. Tim Taylor, who went on to win Stanley Cups with the Detroit Red Wings and Tampa Bay Lightning, he was on that team. Jason Woolley, John Slaney, a couple of defensemen who had long NHL careers. And, you know, I mentioned Rob Laird was the head coach the first year. He got a Stanley Cup ring last year as the head pro scout for the LA Kings. And Barry Trotz was our assistant coach, who was actually my roommate on the road. They had the assistant coach room together with the radio broadcaster. And Barry's obviously gone on to have a great career. He's number one in longevity now in the NHL with the Nashville Predators. He's been their only head coach in franchise history. So a lot of good people came through there. I know I'm forgetting some of the guys, you know, who played on the team.
I mean, that's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of guys that would go on and have long careers in hockey.
So what was your first take on Baltimore when you got here? I know you're
No, it was great. I grew up in the New York area and went to school in New York at NYU. Now, I lived at school, not at home, so I was away from home, but I felt like the years in Baltimore were really my first, you know, years away from home, you know, out in the New York area. I was able to sort of forge my own identity down there, but still have a lot of good friends in Baltimore and really enjoyed living in Owings Mills. And then the 3 years that I worked for Home Team Sports, lived down in Rockville, Maryland, so I was closer to D.C., but, you know, in all, spent 5 years in the state of Maryland.
Can you remember some stories from Baltimore that you can tell?
Yeah, great stories. I mean, you know, so much of it revolved around the team and the games and the road trips. You know, we would go on 5, 6, 8 hour bus rides, and the bus driver was a character. His nickname was Froggy. I don't think any of us even knew what his real name was. And from one of the local companies in Baltimore, and he would take us on all the road trips. You know, the shortest trip was up to Hershey. The longest was up to Portland, Maine. My first game, here's a good story for you, Dave. My first game was October 5th, 1990 in Hershey. And Gene Ubriaco, who I'm sure many of your listeners remember as a great player and coach with the Clippers, and went on to coach the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, and Mario Lemieux's early years. Just a great guy. And I met Gene during that first preseason in 90, and he volunteered to do the color on some of the games on the radio.
Really?
You know, it wasn't a paid spot, but, you know, he was going to attend so many of the games anyway. And, you know, he was such a gregarious person that, you know, he said, hey, I'll do the color with you if you'd like. So sure enough, he said, you know, I'll go up to Hershey for the first game, an hour and a half, you know, up 83 and then 81 for the Hershey Park Arena. So, you know, of course, in the minor league days, you set up your own equipment. You don't have an engineer. You know, you're the play-by-play guy. You're the engineer. In many cases, you're the color analyst, the statistician, really four jobs rolled up into one. So I'm not exactly technologically sound, but, you know, here I am setting up the radio equipment. It's my first game. And Gene comes up, and he's doing the color with me. And during the second period, I get a note handed up to me from the press box, which is just below us. Call your station, you're off the air. So at this point, I think I'm going to get fired. It's game one, and, you know, here we get knocked off the air in the middle of the game. It turns out, you know, back in the day, you'd have to plug in the equipment into a phone jack on the floor, and one of us, either Gene or myself, kicked out the phone jack by accident. So we were knocked off the air for a couple of minutes. So fortunately, we were able to get back on, and everything went well from there. But, you know, a lot of fun bus rides with the players, and, you know, they were the same age, you know, right around the same age I was at the time. We were all trying to make that next step to the National Hockey League, so I think we had a lot in common. You know, post-game, we'd head down to the sports bar, Balls, it was called, down on the corner, a couple of blocks down from the arena. You know, I thought the Baltimore Arena had a lot of character, and you know, I know, obviously, it's been renamed First Mariner now, I guess, and they've had some renovations done, but you know, it was odd the first time I walked in and saw the stage on the one end and no seats, but we had a terrific broadcast location. You would actually climb down a ladder into the broadcast booth, which was, you know, sort of on the front end of the upper balcony, the upper deck. So our office, the team office, was up in one corner of the building, and then I'd walk out and head to the radio location. So just fun times.
This was way up there, if I remember back in the...
It wasn't as high as the press box. The writer's press box was all the way up, but, you know, we were about halfway. And, you know, speaking of the press, you know, got to know, the late Jim Jackson, who covered the team for the Baltimore Sun, and, you know, Nestor Aparicio, who I'm sure you know well. He was the beat writer for the Evening Sun at the time, covering the team. And then he would come on as a guest with us and, you know, appeared many times on the radio. I remember a game against Hershey. Of course, you know, we all remember the song that was played every time the Skipjack scored. They had inherited it from the Clippers.
Oh, really? When you welcome
that, there you go. That's it. 9 goals, Dave, in the first period in this one game against Hershey.
Oh,
I thought the Hershey team was. I thought the Bears were going to pack up and leave the building after hearing that song 9 times in one period.
Great, but so you were always leaned toward broadcasting hockey. Is that right? Was that kind of your first love in broadcasting?
You know, I loved all sports, and as you mentioned, I've been involved in all four. You know, very fortunate to have been involved. You know, as a professional broadcaster in all four. But growing up, hockey was my favorite. I played hockey a little bit, and you know, that was really the way that I wanted to go initially, and wound up in Baltimore with the first pro job. But
well, I read about you when you were, 14 or 16 when you kept stats for the Rangers?
Did stats for some of the radio broadcasts and, you know, attended a lot of games as a youngster, brought a tape recorder, and, you know, would do play-by-play into the recorder. So hockey as a kid was definitely my first love.
It's so difficult, as opposed to baseball, where you have plenty of time in between pitches that you have to – you know, learn all the guys' names, second natures, because it's happening every second.
Yeah, and it's funny. To me, hockey is the easiest. Because
really?
You're just calling the play. You know, baseball is the most challenging to me because of all that extra time you have. And, you know, hopefully you have a terrific analyst with you who can fill in some of the blanks. But, you know, hockey, similar to basketball, you know, it's pretty much nonstop action, especially on the radio.
Right.
So you're really just calling the game, and you know the names. You know some of the Russian and Czech.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, once you learn the names, you know it is kind of second nature. They just kind of roll off your tongue.
Do you ever get back to Baltimore? Sounds like you're working all the time, so there's not really that much chance. But you say you still have friends here.
Still have Jerry Coleman's a good friend who's been in the radio business for over 20 years down in Baltimore, and you know, some other friends as well who aren't in the business. But normally when I get down there, it is for work. You know, I had an Oriole game last summer, for example. I have a Ravens game coming up this October against Green Bay. But normally it's work-related. But, you know, when I moved down there in 90, the Inner Harbor was really in its infancy as far as, you know, the infrastructure and getting built up to become an integral, you know, part of the Baltimore area. I pretty much watched Camden Yards get built. I went to the last game at Memorial Stadium, and it's just so different now. I mean, there are so many restaurants and things to do downtown. You know, the harbor was kind of a skeleton of itself when I first moved down there, but really enjoyed it, like I said, and always have a great time when I get back.
I really appreciate you talking to me. Is there anything else you want to leave Baltimore fans with?
Well, you know, I just want to say hello to everybody. I remember Lorraine Kelly was the head of the Skipjacks fan club, and we had so many great people, you know, that worked for the team and attended the games and worked in the arena. And it really is amazing that it's been so long, you know, 21 years since I left the Skipjacks back in 92. And I know they left, you know, pretty soon thereafter. They went up and won a championship in Portland, Maine in 94 with a lot of the same players, same coaching staff. I went up there for the last game when they beat Moncton to win the Calder Cup that year. And, you know, then the Mighty Ducks came in with an affiliate in the late 90s. And, you know, I know it hasn't really been a hockey town since then, but, you know, the group of rabid fans might have been small, but they were great. You know, 3,000 or 4,000 that would attend every game, and got to know a lot of the members of the fan club, and they would travel on the road, and it was just a great bunch of people, and really enjoyed my time there.
There is talk about getting another minor league team.
Well, that would be great because I know there are definitely folks who would, you know, scoop up season tickets immediately, I'm sure.
When you come in for the Packers game, or if you come in with the Rangers, because they play the Caps twice, and on the 16th of October and 27th of December, if maybe you come back on.
I'll come back on any time. Really enjoyed it, Dave.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Kenny. I appreciate it. This is Dave Custy, and you're listening to Baltimore Internet Radio. My guest has been Kenny Albert, broadcaster for Fox Sports and the voice of the New York Rangers. Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks, Dave.